plants can change the world. And they've been doing it for years. You know, I went vegan over a decade ago and ran dozens of marathons in a wild pursuit to prove to myself that it was possible to ditch meat and be healthier than ever. My guests today have done tremendously more than me, and they are here to share even more incredible stories. This is the 5 a.m. Miracle, episode number 397, The Plant-Based Athlete with Matt Frazier and Robert Cheek. Good morning, I am Jeff Sanders, and this is the podcast dedicated to dominating your day before breakfast. My guests today are seasoned plant-based athletes who have written the book on what it takes to thrive without eating meat. Matt Frazier is the founder of No Meat Athlete, and Robert Cheek is the founder of Vegan Bodybuilding and Fitness. Together, they are the authors of the new book, The Plant-Based Athlete, A Game-Changing Approach to Peak Performance. And now here is my interview with Matt Frazier and Robert Cheek. I want to begin today with just a quick highlight reel for each of you. So Matt, we'll begin with you. Kind of give us a sense of what you do in the world of plant-based athletics.
Sure. So about 12 years ago when I decided to start eating a vegetarian diet, not yet a vegan diet, I'd been trying to qualify for the Boston Marathon for 6 years or so at that point, and got just ethically motivated to become vegetarian. I didn't know what it would do to my running, but I was going to try it and share what I was doing. So I decided to start a blog that was called No Meat Athlete, and I started it because I couldn't find a lot of information, that I was looking for, like what would this diet do to my running. So I started it, and it turned out that my diet worked really well. I qualified for Boston within 6 months of going vegetarian. And then with inspiration from people like Robert, actually, I kept going with it and went vegan over the next 2 years, got into ultra running. I just kept experiencing really great results, like for my recovery times and lack of injuries. So I ran a couple 50 milers, I ran 100 miler. And then kind of just, really kind of doubled down on No Meat Athlete, and that became my living. And I've started some other businesses within the plant-based space as well. And nowadays I'm just a dad of two really great plant-based athletes. And I do plenty of, sports myself with, especially these days, I do like a lot of kettlebell training and stuff. Not so much running anymore, but yeah, that's it. And now I'm just kind of, I feel like I'm at this phase in my career where I really just want to spread this message. And, that's what I'm doing a lot now with the new book.
Excellent. Love that. And Robert, what about you?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I started this back in 1995, December 8th, 1995. I became vegan. I was a teenager. I was a five-sport athlete in high school. And I just really wanted to make a difference for farm animals. I grew up on a farm, spent my entire life on a farm up until age 18. And wanted to see what I could do with a plant-based diet in athletics. And so I weighed 120 pounds at the time and was a runner, soccer player, basketball player, wrestler, and in track and field. And I just, continued on with this plant-based diet and eventually spent 1 year running cross country in college. It was something I was fairly good at, but what I really wanted to do was get bigger and stronger. It's just one of those things that was always compelling to me. And I was always driven to do that. And so I started lifting weights, and it was kind of laughable at the time. I mean, to imagine that one day I would be a champion vegan bodybuilder, but that's what I envisioned as a teenager lifting weights. And sure enough, I did. I became a multiple time champion vegan bodybuilder, and I put on 100 pounds. I've been as heavy as 220 pounds in recent weeks. And I started veganbodybuilding.com back in 2003 and spent a lot of years on tour talking about this, talking about my story of transformation from skinny farm kid to champion vegan bodybuilder. And Matt was in the audience one of those times about a decade ago, and that was great. And so many other people I've been able to connect with through that journey, either who inspired me and I was in the audience listening to them, or throughout my speaking tours, connecting with people who came to see me. And through this connecting and through these relationships, I've met a lot of amazing plant-based athletes. And one of the reasons for this new book, The Plant-Based Athlete, was to tell those compelling stories of the world's greatest plant-based athletes. And so that's what I've been really fixated on for years now, like getting to know these athletes, You know, the Scott Jureks of the world, Dante Bouchers of the world, Rip Esselstyn, Brendan Brazier, Rich Roll, Fiona Oaks, these names that come to mind and tell their stories. So like Matt, I've written books about my story. I've written a few of them already about my vegan bodybuilding journey. But with this particular new book, we wanted to tell everybody else's story. And quite frankly, and Matt would be the first to say this, that all these athletes we wrote about are far greater athletes or far better athletes than we ever were. And there's a lot to be learned from them. So here I am a quarter century later, no meat, no problem. You know, protein hasn't been an issue for me to put on 100 pounds and fulfill my goals of becoming a champion bodybuilder. And I'm honored to be here today talking to you, Jeff, and be here with Matt as a co-author for this really, really exciting new book.
You know, one thing that's interesting about my journey going vegan was one of the very first questions that I had before I made the leap was, can I be a strong vegan? And the first book I read, Robert, was your book, Vegan Bodybuilding and Fitness. And that was the kind of a confirmation that I needed personally to make that leap. Because for whatever reason, in the back of my head, maybe it's just the marketing of protein or this idea of masculinity, maybe. Like, I wanted to prove to myself before I did the leap in the diet that it was possible to be a strong vegan. So I want to just personally thank you for kind of the work that you do, because I think it's really inspiring.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. And I didn't know that. So thank you for sharing. And that's, you know, that's just one of the rewarding experiences from doing this for so long. I mean, Matt and I combined have been doing this for more than 35 years. And just to be able to hear those stories and knowing that it does have an impact on other people, on readers, on listeners. And that's why we're doing podcasts like this too. It's just a way to share. Yes, there are our first person anecdotal stories, but they're still stories. You know, they're still examples. They're still proof. They're still validation. They're still real world experiences of success with a plant-based diet. And that's really what we're trying to communicate. It's not that, you know, a plant-based diet is best or better or we're better than anybody else. It's that you don't have to sacrifice your fitness goals, you know, with a plant-based diet. You can still achieve them. And in fact, maybe you'll have even greater longevity, perhaps better energy, and recover better along the way. And we have compelling reasons to believe that might be the case for a lot of people. So thanks, Jeff, for sharing that. And I'm so glad that that old school book resonated with you back then.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's interesting to hear that now, just because I think 10 years ago, like that was a super common question when you thought about going vegan. I mean, vegan was a weird thing back then. And maybe to some people it still is, but I feel like it has, in those past 10 years, it has changed so much that especially now with this, with the term plant-based, which, you know, we it wasn't a coincidence that we picked that as the title, because I think it has a little bit more of a health and strength, fitness, you know, kind of connotation in people's minds anyway. I think it really shows how far we've come. Like that question, people probably still ask that. Surely they do, plenty, but, it's a lot different. I think it's a lot different, you know, context than it was back then.
Yeah, it certainly is. So let's get to you guys' new book. It's called The Plant-Based Athlete, A Game-Changing Approach to Peak Performance. Let's just start with this kind of, I guess, the baseline question, which would be, why is being plant-based as opposed to other diets that are out there? Why is the plant-based diet good for performance and good for athletics? Like, what is the plant advantage in terms of fitness?
Yeah, I mean, this has come up so many times during the 10 years or 12 years now that I've done No Meat Athlete. And I think, like, I mean, before I get, and I will give you a specific answer, but I think one of the important things, like, at least for me, like, what I really love about this book is that, like, I feel like what we do, like, this puts the plant-based diet on par with everything else as, like, a viable alternative. Like, and if that's what this book does, and people, you know, don't ultimately buy the message that a plant-based diet may actually offer you an advantage in sports, but just it can be as good and it should be considered along with all these other options. And it happens to have, you know, some really great benefits in terms of, like, the longevity of your years of good performance, which is perhaps the biggest possible benefit that it can offer an athlete. You know, and then in addition to just, like, the long-term health span stuff, you know, once you're maybe done sports, but hopefully you're never done sports, but, you know, just in terms of years of life without debilitating disease or illness, you know, the plant-based diet, you know, has that going for it as well. But specifically, like, short-term fitness, what it does, for me, I think it's all about recovery. Anecdotally, that's what I noticed is that like I was able to put in these all these hard running workouts that I had tried to do before, and I could do any one of them before. The problem was, as soon as I would do that for a couple weeks or a month, if I was lucky enough to get that far, then the inevitable injury would creep up. Once I started eating vegetarian, not even vegan yet, that's when that stopped, and that's when I was able to train the way I wanted to and not get injured. And I've heard that story so many times from other plant-based athletes. So, I only saw it more as I went vegan and got, you know, more and more conscious about the foods that I was putting in my body to help with recovery. And I mean, it's pretty, you know, when you think about these foods, the anti-inflammatory benefits and the antioxidant capacities of these foods compared to animal-based products, they're just so much greater in plants. And to me, plants are nutrient dense. They're not that calorie dense compared to animal products. So your body's getting what it needs with fewer, you know, overall calories it needs to digest to get those nutrients. And that just spells, that's a recipe for faster recovery. And if you talk to any of these plant-based athletes, like the ones in the book, you know, Brendan Brazier was talking about this back in the day before almost anybody else, that for him, he tried a bunch of different diets in high school when he wanted to become a pro triathlete. And the one that allowed him to get in the most workouts per week, and you know, for him, it might have been, you know, 10 or 15 workouts in a week, compared to his competition was maybe only getting 7 or 9 or something like that. He said the plant-based one was the one that allowed him best to do that. So I really think it's about recovery. And then along with that, what I said earlier, that just the extension of your good years, to me, that's the huge benefit that it offers.
Yeah, certainly. I know plant-based diets in general offer just such incredible potential recovery, I think, is such a key one, because I've had a long history of injuries. I'm probably because I just pushed too hard. But the diet is giving you the advantage to bounce back and work out again and work out more, you know, a higher level is such a powerful thing. Let's go through some examples. Your book, I know, goes through lots of different plant-based athletes. So, maybe Robert, you can share for us a few of the athletes you guys highlight and kind of how the plant-based diet allows these athletes to compete at a pro level.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And just really quickly, one sentence to add to what Matt said. For me, it's the nutrients per calorie. Like that's the end, you know, game over. You know, you get more nutrients per calorie. That's just going to benefit your overall health, your performance, your recovery, your everything. And that's one of the key themes in the book. And that leads exactly into what you just asked about. There are so many athletes, and I personally interviewed over 60 world-class plant-based athletes for this particular book, who came to a plant-based diet because of the recovery benefits. These are athletes like Sharon Fikeman, who's playing in Roland Garros right now. You know, she's in the quarterfinals or semifinals or something. She's a women's professional tennis player. I just saw on Instagram yesterday. She keeps moving along in the tournament. She had to walk away from tennis completely, much like Venus Williams did. I mean, they had to actually stop playing tennis because of autoimmune disease or because of inflammation that they couldn't even play anymore. And they both came to a plant-based diet. They both were able to recover, feel better than ever. And in the case of Venus, you know, went on to win Wimbledon and Olympic gold medal the very next year. And Sharon Fikeman, who's competitive right now and top, ranked in the top 50 in the world in doubles, if not higher at this point in her career, the same thing. She was unable to even play, walked away from a sport she'd been playing since she was 6 years old. And now she's at the peak of her athletic career. Not only that, her fiance is a Olympic silver medal winning figure skater who has now adopted a plant-based diet. And I just learned, like just a week ago, that he is now partnering with Megan Duhamel, who's an Olympic gold medal winning figure skater who's in our book. And now they're like this plant-based figure skating team. So it's really cool. And there's so many other stories. I mean, from Fiona Oaks, who has Guinness World Records in long distance running and was told as a kid, you know, because she didn't have a kneecap in her right knee that she would, you know, probably wouldn't walk properly or certainly not run. And to go on and to set Guinness World Records in marathons and become an elite runner in the UK and now 5 decades into a plant-based diet is really incredible. And then there's Jahina Malik, who has been vegan since birth and is a IFBB professional bodybuilder. And this, what I love about Jahina's story is that it completely puts the protein story or the protein myth to rest. Because here is someone who is at the top of her sport as a professional bodybuilder who's never consumed animal protein from meat, dairy, eggs, or otherwise in her life. And furthermore, she has four siblings who are all athletes as well and have all been plant-based since birth, vegan since birth. And the list goes on. We even have an Olympic medalist who's been vegan since birth, Kevin Hill from Canada, and his sister, who's a world champion ultra triathlete, vegan since birth. But and that's really inspiring. But for me, it's actually not these people who've been plant-based from birth. It's people like David Carter in the NFL who was, you know, a prime athlete, 25 years old, NFL lineman who had crazy inflammation, couldn't even push himself out of a bathtub. His joint pain was too much. Who adopted a plant-based diet and then saw immediate results, was completely pain-free 2 months later, dropped 40 pounds, was the biggest, fastest, strongest he'd ever been. Those are the stories that I think are going to resonate with a lot of readers, because not many of us have been vegan since birth, right? I mean, that can be inspiring to some readers, like, wow, that's incredible commitment, or I wonder what their, you know, childhood was like, or how did they stick with it during their, you know, their teenage years or whatever. But for me, it's, you know, Robbie Ballinger, who ran from California to New York in 75 days, you know, who ran over 3,000 miles across America, averaging something like 43 miles per day, and what that recovery was like, and how he did this with a plant-based diet. And also, Jeff, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one of the things that I'm really just personally proud of with this book, and I think Matt would agree, is that we really went out of our way to focus on the amazing female plant-based athletes who often get overlooked and underappreciated in our movement. So it's not just, you know, Jahina, but there's Laura Klein and Vanessa Espinoza and Mary Schneider and Orla Walsh and Christine Vardaros and Harriet Davis and Natalie Matthews, and the list goes on. Dotsy Bausch, of course. And I think that's really inspiring for a lot of people to see how many amazing female plant-based athletes there are out there and to learn their stories.
This podcast is all about productivity. And one area of my life that has always needed a few extra strategies is wrapped up in the world of finance. Now, you could argue that being financially productive is even more important than other areas. And with my sponsor, Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate multiple accounts into one hub or dashboard, just like I do with my own investment accounts. Now, I'm actually looking at yahoofinance.com right now, and I can see the stocks I'm following. I can customize my portfolio and even securely connect other brokerage accounts that I have. It was fascinating for me to see that the number one brand behind every great investor is Yahoo Finance. Now, I'm not a seasoned investor, so I love to find extra guidance to help me find and make a better financial decisions, which is where Yahoo Finance comes in and gives you the tools and data you need all in one place. They show a big picture look at financial news, independent research, and what I love the most, customizable charts for your own investments. So for comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor. YahooFinance.com, the number one financial destination, YahooFinance.com. That's YahooFinance.com. My biggest struggle with my health now is and has always been my allergies. When my sinuses are clogged up, I really can't get anything done, including recording this podcast, because I spend the entire day blowing my nose and clearing my throat. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing me with samples. Claritin D tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. If you're loving this podcast and would love to get exclusive bonus episodes of the 5 a.m. Miracle, as well as every episode 100% ad-free, you're going to love 5 a.m. Miracle Premium. By joining 5 a.m. Miracle Premium, you will get access to exclusive bonus episodes of this show, 100% ad-free content, early access to the latest episodes, exclusive access to the entire back catalog with over 400 episodes, as well as any other features that launch in the future. Now, in addition to all of that, you are supporting me and this podcast, which allows me to keep this show alive and making podcasts you love. To learn more and join today, simply go to 5ammiraclepremium.com. Once again, that's 5ammiraclepremium.com. Yeah, certainly. There's so many great stories of so many amazing athletes. It's wonderful and very inspiring to hear that there's so many different types of athletes doing so well on this diet. And one kind of aspect of this that I want to dig into now would be, like, what is the difference, let's say, like a day-to-day training life of someone as a plant-based athlete in terms of like how many calories you have to consume? Because obviously there's fewer calories in plants. Like, how does that work into a rhythm of being, you know, fit and having a lot of time for exercise, but also eating the right foods? Like, is there a plant-based approach that's the most effective in terms of what to consume?
I think one of the cool things, Jeff, about this book that I kind of learned is that there's not just one approach. Like, I think it's really easy when, especially as this was like a new kind of alternative diet that not many people were doing, it was easy to like read, you know, Rich Roll's story or something and say, well, Rich Roll's way of doing it with all these Vitamix smoothies and whatever else Rich did that was like kind of his particular way, that like, oh, that's what you have to do to make a plant-based diet work for sports. It turns out that like it's not the case that you need to do what Rich does or what Scott Jurek does or what Robert Cheek or what I like, you know, that's, I think, one of the neat things about seeing it from so many different athletes. And even in the book, there's a section at the end that's like the day in the life section where 25 of the athletes say exactly what they eat and when and how it relates to their workout and what they're doing for their workout. And you can see if you leaf through that, like, it's very different. What they have in common is they're eating plant-based foods and a lot of them are choosing whole foods. That's, you know, that's really kind of it. Like, and I think it speaks to the versatility of this diet. Like, a lot of people think that, well, if you're plant-based, you must have to be really careful to do things right. But my approach has always been that, like, if you're plant-based, you probably need to do less things carefully because there's just such a, you know, abundance of nutrients in those foods that you can do it lots of different ways and make it work. It's the standard American diet that you better be pretty careful with, making sure you're getting exactly the right combination of nutrients if you want to get close to what you need from that kind of diet. So I would say, like, you know, that's the big broad takeaway. Maybe more specifically speaking, like, I think one of the big problems that you hear people complain about when they try a plant-based diet and then a month later they'll say, hey, I didn't have any energy when I did that, so I went back to my old one, which is always a shame. But that happens because, as I said before, plants are so much less calorically dense than animal products, meaning they take up a lot of space relative to the number of calories they're providing. So you will feel full if you eat a big plant-based meal without taking in nearly as many calories as it takes you to feel full with a, you know, similar meal that's made of animal products. So what that means is, like, you're feeling like you're full at mealtime, you'll stop eating, and then if you don't eat again until your next mealtime and you eat the same size of meal as you would before, the same level of fullness, you're going to be taking in fewer calories. So what I've had to do, especially if I'm trying to put on weight, is actually eat more frequently. Because telling myself eat till I'm less comfortable at mealtime doesn't really work. I mean, I can't just keep eating and keep being uncomfortable. It just doesn't. I can do it for a little while, but it doesn't last. But what lasts for me is making a plan where I say, okay, I'm gonna eat my first meal, you know, as soon as I get up, and my last one pretty late in the day. And I'm going to eat several snacks, and I'm going to make sure that I choose some calorically dense foods, like, you know, nut butters or things like that, that pack a lot of calories. So I would say, like, for me, like, that's been the trick to getting enough. You know, but even that, it's like, even that's not a constant. That's if I'm really trying hard to put on weight. But if I'm just like day to day, I try to do more of like an intermittent fasting thing, and I don't do the really early meal or the really late meal. So I don't know. I think it really speaks to the versatility of this diet that there really isn't one way to do it.
And Robert May, can you speak to the idea of the bodybuilding aspect of getting enough calories, of putting on muscle? Like, how does that process work?
Yeah, really, it's something that I think probably 99% of people don't fully understand. And I've written about this in multiple books, is the idea that you have to understand what your true calorie needs are. And that's the only way you're going to be able to add mass or to burn fat and lose weight without just having an incredible work ethic and being lucky. The only way to have any kind of control is to understand what your calorie needs are. And that's by using something like a Harris Benedict calculator, which is going to factor in your gender, age, height, weight, and activity level and say, okay, Robert, you know, at your current age, height, weight, all this stuff, how often you train and for what duration and level of intensity, you are going to expend X number of calories per day. And so for me, it's about 3,100. That may seem like a lot to some people, but I guarantee there are a lot of people, including non-athletes, who eat 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day, every day, without even knowing it because of the calorie density and oils and fried and processed foods and sodas and things like that. So what does that mean for me? What that means for me is that if I require 3,100 calories to maintain a body weight of almost 220 pounds that I am today, then that means I need to consume that many calories throughout the day to maintain weight. If I consume less, like lately, I've been with the book launch, I've been more stressed and not eating as much and all that, and I've lost 5 to 8 pounds just in the last couple of weeks. That's a direct result of my real calorie intake versus my expenditure, right? And at times when I've bulked up, it's like, well, okay, I'm consuming 3,500 to 4,000 calories a day now. There's a surplus every single day for weeks on end, which is compounds to thousands of extra calories, and you combine that with resistance weight training, and you put on muscle, you put on mass. And so, Jeff, that's where it starts. And we talk about that in this book as well. You've got to understand what your calorie needs are in order to build muscle, if that's the goal. And so then from there, you pick some of those more calorie dense foods, like Matt talked about. There's a whole range, and we have that range in the book, a calorie density scale, because leafy greens and fruits and most vegetables are very low on the calorie density scale, whereas legumes and grains are, and certain root vegetables are much higher. And then furthermore, far greater calorie density are nuts and seeds and nut butters and foods like that. So incorporating more of those foods into your diet is going to be key for putting on muscle. And just speaking of how the athlete diets vary, which Matt brought up, it's important to note that. For example, Nick Squires just set a bunch of California state records in powerlifting a couple days ago, over the weekend. He's an ethical vegan, tattoos and animal rights messages, all over the place. Very, very strong muscular person in his weight class and in his division. He's the strongest person in California. And, he eats completely differently than a figure skater or endurance runner. I mean, like Matt said, there's similarities with a plant-based diet, but, with someone like Nick, it's a bunch of Beyond Burgers and kind of heavy foods. He weighs 225 pounds. He's gonna need those more calorie-dense foods, whereas a different type of athlete, especially with a smaller frame, will require a different amount. And that's why it's important to understand what your needs are, because like Matt said, there is no really universal exact diet, like just Brendan Brazier's way or Rich Rule's way or Rip's way or Matt's way or my way or Fiona's way. It's really taking the accumulative knowledge we can glean from all these different athletes and then apply what works in our lives based on what our sports are, what our goals are. And that's what's really fascinating, is to see that you can achieve the same result of becoming a champion athlete with a completely different nutritional approach than someone else, but plants are the underlying common theme that bonds everyone together.
You brought up the Beyond Burger. I think it's a good kind of talking point here, because I know there's a lot of popularity among the Beyond Burgers, the Impossible Burgers. There's lots of companies now that have their own vegan plant-based burgers. What's the role that those would play, and when you compare them to, let's say, like a Whole Foods diet? Because obviously there's going to be a trade-off in terms of calories and possible, you know, health implications there. Where is the role of these kind of fake meat products in a healthy Whole Foods plant-based diet? Like, is there a place for them just for weight gain or for calorie density, or are they just not as healthy and we should avoid them? Like, where do those fit in?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and we don't fully know the answer yet. I mean, no one knows what, like, these, they're only increasing the amount of these things and the vegan cheeses that are showing up and the vegan eggs now. I mean, it's in 5 or 10 years, like, I think you're going to be able to eat you almost can now. You can eat a normal diet and just swap in all these plant-based versions. And like, that's kind of a cool thing, and it's great for animals and it's great for the planet. And in many cases, it's even probably a nutritional gain for the person who's eating that way. I kind of question what's going to happen in 15 years, like, if that's how everyone's eating, and then the headlines are, well, plant-based diet isn't so healthy after all, because a lot of that stuff really isn't that much more healthy, if at all, than you know, the real thing would be. So as far as, like, to the individual, what's the role? I think, well, Robert mentioned that, like, some people are going to find that a nice way to get a lot of calories. And if you're new to this diet, especially if you're kind of uncertain, it's kind of like protein powder, where, like, it's going to give you this psychological assurance that you know, you can hit your numbers of calories or protein or whatever it is that you need. And, like, even if you don't really need as much protein as you're worried that you do, or that you've been told that you need, even if you don't actually need that much, if you believe that you do and these protein powders or fake meats help you get that amount, that's going to help you stay on this diet long enough to eventually learn and have the confidence that, hey, maybe I can get by without that. And probably you will find that you can. So I think they're especially good for people who are transitioning, people who can't imagine eating a plant-based diet just because it sounds so wrong and because their favorite foods are, you know, fast foods or they really like whatever, grilling. And it's you can replace this and kind of get a lot of the elements of that experience. And I mean, the way these things taste these days is in many ways indistinguishable. I'm not going to say it's identical, but you know, it's just come such a long way that it's not a lesser quality eating experience at all. So I think for me, that's mainly what it, like, there's really not much of a nutritional role. It's mainly a psychological thing that's going to help you stay with this diet longer. But, you know, to be completely honest, like, I have two kids, like I said, and they're picky eaters like any other kids often are. And I know that if I serve Beyond Burgers, that they're going to both, you know, get 700 calories in that meal, when otherwise eating a you know, their picky way of eating a typical plant-based meal that I'll serve, they might only get 400 calories in that meal. So I don't know if they really need those extra calories, but for me, it's the same thing. I still have those questions that sometimes people who are new to this diet do, that says, like, hey, I shouldn't say questions, but these little tiny doubts in your mind that they're just there because it's been so, you know, deeply sewn into our way of thinking. That I'll feel good about, like, yeah, the kids both got that, you know, big, good, hearty meal today. So they serve that role for me. If I, you know, step back and really think about it, they probably don't need that kind of food. They'd probably be just fine eating a much, much healthier version of a veggie burger that we've made at home or something like that. But, you know, on top of that, it is kind of just fun now and then to eat that way.
This podcast is all about productivity, and one area of my life that has always needed a few extra strategies is wrapped up in the world of finance. Now, you could argue that being financially productive is even more important than other areas, and with my sponsor, Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate multiple accounts into one hub or dashboard, just like I do with my own investment accounts. Now, I'm actually looking at yahoofinance.com right now, and I can see the stocks I'm following. I can customize my portfolio and even securely connect other brokerage accounts that I have. It was fascinating for me to see that the number one brand behind every great investor is Yahoo Finance. Now, I'm not a seasoned investor, so I love to find extra guidance to help me find and make a better financial decisions, which is where Yahoo Finance comes in and gives you the tools and data you need all in one place. They show a big picture look at financial news, independent research, and what I love the most, customizable charts for your own investments. So for comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor. YahooFinance.com. the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Allergies are my nemesis and always have been. When my sinuses are clogged up, I really can't get anything done, including recording this podcast, because I spend the whole day blowing my nose and clearing my throat. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing me with samples. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. The 5 a.m. Miracle audiobook is available now on Audible, Amazon, and Apple Books. It's full of specific how-to advice and action steps to help you wake up early, dominate your day, and achieve your life's grandest goals. It's 4 hours of energy-packed audio that's read by me. And the audiobook walks you step-by-step through the 5 a.m. Blueprint, which is my 7-step productivity framework. You will learn how to set your grandest goals, craft clear boundaries around your work, optimize your ideal week, and discover what the pros do to get the most out of their day. Just visit 5ambook.com to get your copy of the 5 a.m. Miracle audiobook today. Once again, that's 5ambook.com. Yeah, certainly. I know that I've eaten way too many of those, I would assume, over the last 2 years. I mean, there's definitely that stigma that if I consume that, I feel more full and I feel like consciously better in the moment. But then I wonder, was that a good choice or not? Almost immediately. So that's interesting. One other aspect, I think, of being a plant-based athlete for me that I've experienced the last 10 years has been, I guess you'd call it kind of the social stigma of being a plant-based athlete, which, and from that, to counter it with the traditional kind of masculine perspective of, eating a lot of meat and that's what makes you strong. I mean, maybe Robert, you can address this as a bodybuilder. Like, have you experienced kind of a blowback or kind of any repercussions from like having to defend veganism or defend yourself as saying like, here's proof, like, look at my muscles. Like, I can show you this works. Like, have you experienced any kind of like social challenges from that perspective?
Yeah, Jeff, it's something I thought about earlier in this conversation when Matt was talking about the changing landscape and how much has changed over the last 10 years. And I can actually take it back 25 years. And so one of the stories for me, Jeff, that comes to mind is that 25 years ago, people were legitimately really concerned about my health and well-being when I adopted a vegan lifestyle. Like, this was, I mean, there was genuine fear within my parents, my teammates, my friends, teachers. This was in the 1990s in an agriculture community. There was legitimate fear that Robert is going to suffer some sort of health consequences. We need to convince him to start eating animals again. You fast forward 25 years later, the common narrative that I hear, and I'm on social media a lot, more than I'd like to admit. I talk to people. I've been on tour for 15 years. The common theme that I hear now is that I know I should go plant-based for my health. I mean, this is completely 180 from 25 years ago and probably even 10 years ago. There was this idea, there was this association with a vegan diet or lifestyle or a plant-based diet with inadequacy, that you're going to have to supplement with all this kinds of stuff. And to Matt's point earlier, it's really the other way around. I mean, who's eating all the Flintstone vitamins? Who's eating all the standard vitamins and pills and prescriptions and all of this stuff? It's not those who are eating lots of leafy greens, fruits, and vegetables. It's those eating a standard American diet who are just not getting the nutrition that they really need, and they have to take all of these synthetic and artificial supplements to try to meet their needs and to feel well or to manage this or that problem. And regarding the masculinity issue, that is something that's just always kind of there. Like, you know, real men eat meat or whatever. And I love that Rip Esselstyn said in Forks Over Knives, real men eat plants. And that speaks to me, it speaks to real, true health and longevity. I mean, what is masculine about not being healthy or not having, you know, the energy to even walk upstairs or having, you know, a potential heart issue at any moment, or being, you know, fearful of health or having, you know, blood flow issues in certain areas or whatever. We don't talk about that a whole lot. We don't think about that. And partly, I think, because at least speaking for myself, as someone who identifies as a vegan, it just doesn't seem like a compassionate thing to do to attack someone else's diet or lifestyle, especially if it's leading them to things like obesity or diseases that you know that are very serious in their lives. Why why kick someone when they're down? Why add fuel to the fire? Why not try to lead by example as a compassionate champion plant-based athlete and hope that inspires them to perhaps shift the way that they view meat or protein and things like that. And on that note, there was a slogan actually from Beyond Meat 10 years ago or a long time ago. I don't think they use it now, but it was changing the way America meets. Because that's one thing that I think is really common with our culture here in the U.S. is things like meat. You know, burgers is our that is the American food, burgers and hot dogs, and we may not be moving away from that. We just moved to a different version of that. And so I think the food culture is tied into the masculinity thing as well. And the more people, I think, like Nick Squires, who's, you know, like I said, this big, you know, tough guy, tattoos, big beard, and he's a compassionate champion powerlifter, the strongest person in California in his weight class, that is the kind of message, I think, that can wake people up to the fact that you can still be masculine and confident and all of these things while living a compassionate vegan lifestyle.
Do you think that the future of like a plant-based lifestyle or veganism in general, that the future of this movement is really based upon more celebrity examples? Like, do most people just need to see, like, you know, this you know, movie star that I see on the screen, like, oh, they went vegan and that's inspiring? Do we need kind of that big societal example to be set for the average person who doesn't know about this to be exposed to it and make the transition? Like, is that going to be kind of the best way forward? Because your book obviously highlights so many amazing examples. Like, is that really where we're headed in terms of just let's plaster it across billboards everywhere we can?
I mean, it certainly helps, right? Like that certainly reaches a segment of people that you really can't reach many other ways, or at least would inspire them to take. I mean, there are certain people who just worship celebrities in that way that's what it will take. But I think Robert will probably agree with me that like it kind of just takes everything. Like to me, the much more interesting, exciting example is when, you know, your best friend or your neighbor or someone that you work out with or someone on your, you know, flag football team or whatever, when they go plant-based because of a celebrity or because of a book like ours or whatever it is that caused them to do it, I think when they become an example and they start eating a plant-based diet, you know, to lose some weight or to whatever, and then they decide that they feel so good, they're going to go run a half marathon and they haven't done something like that ever in their life. And then they run a marathon, and then it just turns into this story. And then friends are talking and coworkers are talking about how this person lost all this weight. I have a feeling that the depth of that kind of inspiration is much more than just, you know, that this week some Justin Bieber or whatever went vegan. I don't think that's actually happened, but I'm not really sure. So I like to think that it will be much closer to home than that. But I don't mind when the celebrities do that. That certainly helps our cause. And I think that's what we try to do with this book. It's like we try to hit the angle of the person who's going to be motivated by the athlete, hearing about the strong person, or hearing about the distance runner who they just didn't know about. Because like Robert said, there just haven't been that many stories of like females who do that. We know a lot of male endurance runners who were kind of the stories at the beginning of this movement. But I think what's really good about this book is that just the diversity of athletes that are represented here. I really hope that like it's just going to connect with a lot of people who have not yet, found that specific connection, that specific athlete that's going to inspire them to want to learn everything they can about that one athlete, and then that person kind of becomes the person that they follow on this journey.
So for our listeners today who want to kind of make that leap to being a plant-based athlete, or at least kind of dip their toe in the water, what would be a good kind of day one process to say like, okay, today I'm going to try this out? Where do they begin?
Well, they begin with the plant-based athlete because we wrote that. And I'm being serious, actually, because we wrote that to be the how-to book. This is the penultimate how-to be a plant-based athlete book. I mean, we've written a bunch of books already, and so have Rip and Scott and Brendan and so many others. But this is that ultimate resource. This is that resource to learn everything you need to know about nutrient density, calorie density, protein, carbohydrates, fats, supplementation, recovery, meal planning, and recipes, all in one place. And, you know, obviously available June 15th. So it's available, basically right now for people to get. So that's really, to me, that's really it. I mean, you can poke around the internet, you can find things, you can start incorporating more plants. But even in the book, we talk about that. We talk about here's how you start. You make a list of your five favorite foods in every category. What are your five favorite fruits, vegetables, legumes, grains, nuts, and seeds? Because you don't want to be what do I eat? What do I eat today? You know, like you have favorite foods that you're not even thinking about sometimes. Have those around you, whether that's sweet potatoes or blueberries or, tofu or whatever it is. Like, have these foods available. And so you can find something that you really, really enjoy all the time. And then make sure you understand your calorie needs and making sure you get enough calories. And therefore, you'll get the requisite amount of protein that you need. And therefore, you'll, help achieve your fitness goals and all of that. So I really think that's a great place to start. We also have a bunch of beginning articles on nomeatathlete.com that Matt has written and that I have written as well. And those are a great place if you want a little bit more, maybe some more nuanced information about specific types of workouts and things like that for building muscle. But really, to me, the best advice is just to start. You never want to be asking what might have been or put something off until later when you know it has benefits to your life. And that's what we found with a plant-based diet. And that's what Dr. Michael Greger has found, who wrote the foreword for our book, that a plant-based diet should be the default diet until proven otherwise because of the myriad benefits that it provides. Matt alluded to this, 64 times more antioxidants in plants than in animals. Fiber only found in plants, dietary cholesterol only found in animals. Once you start figuring some of this stuff out, you're like, oh, that makes sense. That's why I have this issue or that issue or why I'm not achieving this or why I am achieving this. And we cover it from start to finish in The Plant-Based Athlete. And I sincerely think that is a great place to start.
If I can add one thing, Jeff, Robert talked about kind of just starting. And I think like, that's really perhaps the best advice that I could give someone who wants to try this. So many people like to get on, Twitter or email Nomad Athlete, and they'll say like, hey, I really want to do this, but I'm worried about this and this and this. Like, can you give me whatever assurance I need to, know that that won't happen. And I'm always just try it. And you don't need to do it 100% overnight. Like, just start having a smoothie instead of your other breakfast, or some fruit instead of your typical Egg McMuffin or whatever. Like, just replace that one meal in the morning. And then if it's going well, replace the next meal. And then eventually you get to lunch, and then eventually you get to dinner. And I think that's a really nice way to kind of begin doing it. You mentioned, Jeff, all these vegan substitute foods that are out there nowadays. Like, if that's a better way for you, like, still have your same burger for dinner, but just make it a plant-based burger. And maybe not every time, but just some of the time. I think it's a really nice way to kind of get started without overthinking and having it be this huge thing. The way that I began was I committed to a 7-day challenge of being, I think it was a pescatarian diet. And I said, I'm just going to do 7 days and see what it's like. So that still had some fish here or there. It wasn't too different from what I was doing. But I got to the end of it and I felt so good that I said, okay, I'm going to do 30 days of this now, because that was awesome. And I liked having that finish line and these little set of, guardrails that says like, I can do this, and it doesn't mean I'm stopping my old way forever. It's just a little challenge. You just got to find the thing like that works for you. But whichever one is right is going to be the one that causes you, like, today or tomorrow, the next day, to really begin. So that doesn't turn into this huge story that you're like, you know, you should do this, but you can never make it work, or you never can seem to get started. Like Robert said, just find a way to start. It doesn't have to be 100% overnight, but just find a way to make a change.
I mean, to that same degree, it took me about 6 months to make my switch. And it was, you know, it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. It's fun, though. It's fun to see progress and fun to try new things. So if you like testing new ways of living, veganism is definitely awesome. So, guys, this has been great. I think this book is amazing. I'm super excited you wrote this. And where can they go to get a copy of it today and to really dig in further?
Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate you having us on. If people are interested in the book, they can check it out at book.nomadeathlete.com. I mean, it's going to be available everywhere books are sold. But if you go to book.nomadeathlete.com, you'll see this list of bonuses that Robert and I have put together, including some extra meal plans, a live video Q&A, the secret chapter about how to gain muscle very fast, and finally a little accountability workshop, which is funny enough because, Jeff, you and I used to be accountability partners. We used to meet every week to discuss what we were doing and hold each other accountable. So all that stuff is available. You can get the details about it at book.nomadeathlete.com. Or like I said, anywhere books are sold after June 15th, it will be there.
Okay, excellent. I'll make sure to have the links in our show notes this week. But once again, Matt and Robert, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Really an honor.
And for that action step this week, start your plant-based journey today by grabbing your copy of The Plant-Based Athlete. Matt, Robert, and I have all been vegan athletes for years, and there's no doubt you can join the thriving community of healthy plant-based athletes who are truly reaching peak performance. JeffSanders.com/397 is the place to go to get the episode notes. Also, go to 5ammiracle.com to join the 5am Club and get free email updates about the show. That's all I've got for you here on the 5am Miracle Podcast this week. Until next time, you have the power to change your life, and the fun begins bright and early. Hey, it's Jeff Sanders, and I'm here to tell you about Greg McKeown and his amazing show, The Greg McKeown Podcast, part of the Yap Media Network. Want to achieve more by doing less, all while avoiding burnout? You can design a life that really matters with Greg McKeown, author of New York Times bestsellers Effortless and Essentialism. His mission is to help you advocate and negotiate your way to remarkable results. Every Tuesday, Greg discusses one key topic he finds interesting and valuable through the lens of the essentialist. Every Thursday, he invites thought leaders, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and people like you for inspired weekly conversations focused on learning how to do what matters first and do less but better. His content will stir your thoughts and spark inspiration and action. And his British accents, well, that's just the cherry on top. Subscribe to the Greg McKeown Podcast today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.